President Trump. The survey says the number of owners now expecting the national economy to improve over the next 12 months had jumped up to 52% compared to what it had been, 31%. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Hello and welcome to Radio Wasteland. I'm your host, Chauncey. I'm here with Sean.
Hello.
And our guest host today, Desmond, here to talk about... Say hello, Desmond.
Hello. We're here to talk about Nibiru.
Yeah.
Is that how you say it?
I don't know. Nibiru is what I was thinking.
Nibiru is the explicit pronunciation.
All right. Oh. I'm not even entirely sure what explicit means in that context, so I'm going to take your word for it. But first things first, I have some disappointing news for you. Last week we had a Battle of the Cryptids. We all brought our cryptids and we all decided who was, we gave our pitches on who was the best. I have to admit my pitches were not very good.
Some of us, however, poured our heart and soul into those pitches.
Right, yeah.
Some of us were staking a lot of our personal pride and self-esteem.
Yeah, one of them was not Joe.
Certain cryptid.
And Joe is not here with us today, but I'm sad to say that Joe is the winner. You see, we brought Mothman, the Jersey Devil, Mermaids, Megalodon, Plesiosaur, Chupacabra... And we brought them all, and we battled it out, and we talked about who was the coolest and who was the most plausible and so on and so forth. And Mermaids won. Mm. Mermaids won with 26% of the vote over Mothman at 24% of the vote.
We're sorry, Mothman.
I know. So the winner, Joe, gets his own show about mermaids. Which will happen next week.
Just what he always wanted, I'm sure.
Yeah. Next week we have Melissa Lockett from Spirit, a paranormal investigation group from Sacramento. Ooh. And then the following week will be a show all about mermaids. You know.
Well, it'll be great.
I think Sean put it pretty well when... He said, at least we learned something about our client base or our listener base.
The rest of the show will be Disney themed.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, totally. Who is your favorite princess?
Oh, my God.
Will be our next Battle of the Princesses. But I don't know. I looked around and it looks like there might, you know, the reason this is not a machismo thing why I was anti-mermaid. I was anti-mermaid winning because I am a horror movie fan, and, you know, I like some blood and guts in my history, you know.
Well, if spoilers here for Cabin in the Woods by Joss Whedon,
yeah.
If you remember at the end the guy finally meets a mermaid.
I was going to say evil mermaids, they're out there.
Yeah. There are a couple few good movies about it. All right, so our topic today is, I don't think I'm going to be able to say it any other way, it's Nibiru. There are a lot of different beliefs about Nibiru. I've spent all day today in a couple of Facebook groups of people who follow this stuff, learning about what all their thoughts and stuff are. But for those of you who don't know what Nibiru is, we should probably cover what that is. And so basically there was this guy named Zachariah Sitchin. And it was a cool name, and he was an independent researcher. He actually didn't have his degree in anything like that. The degree was in, like, economics or something like that. But he was the first one to translate the Sumerian tablets.
The cuneiform tablets, yes.
Cuneiform tablets, right. And and in doing so, he literalized them, you know, that's where a lot of the argument comes with, that he was taking it literal. And basically came up with the belief that there is another planet called Nibiru that's in a 3,600-year elliptical orbit, and that basically every 3,600 years, it basically enters our inner solar system and wreaks havoc before it goes back out into deep space. Is that fairly accurate?
That is fairly accurate. I'm not sure if it's necessarily that every time it comes into our planetary system that necessarily wreaks havoc. I think initially what he was saying is that it wreaked havoc when it first came into the solar system, and then from what I understand is after it came into the solar system the first time, after it had blasted through what they call Tiamat, mm-hmm. And created our moon and Earth, basically. He also says that that Earth was the moon and Earth, basically, and then the asteroid belt were products of the first collision.
Right.
And then it has a more peaceful, perchance, because, I mean, obviously, we can go back 3,600 years and see that there was no celestial collision in that sense.
Right, but I think part of this wreaking havoc is a little bit relative because, you know, I think part of the deal is that every time it came through, it caused some sort of weather, earthquake problems, you know,
sure.
maybe not complete destruction.
Like tidal, as far as the moon controls the tides, for sure.
Right, and then now, you know, people are thinking that it's going to come through and it's going to basically collide with us. People.
Well, there was a doctor in 1955, I believe, I can't remember her name, that was the initial person that was like, there's going to be a celestial cataclysm of, mm-hmm. of that regard. But also, there's also the idea from him is that where the Anunnaki, that's where they live.
Right, right. And
so there could be havoc just from them being in our space as well if they were to come down again.
Right, right. The real sort of emergency, you know, if you look online now, you know, where all the truth is located. if you look online now for what's going on with Nibiru currently, the fear seems to be based on a lot of people are under the impression that there is going to be a collision in October of this year.
Oh, dang.
There was a previous predicted collision in 1995 as well.
That one didn't happen.
No, obviously not. Nor did the world end in 2012.
Right, right. And that's a 3,600-year...
There could be a slight miscalculation, obviously.
Yeah. Well, you heard it here first on Radio Wasteland. Quit your job, take a vacation, it's all over, come October.
You also heard here first that there could be a slight miscalculation. All right, so we're talking Nibiru. We're going to cover a lot of the possibilities of what it could be. We'd love to hear from you. Give us a call at 530-605-4567 and tell us what you think. Do you think the world's going to end? Do you think our alien overlords are coming to get us? We'd like to know.
You and I saw M-47 swerve in its path, take a course impossible to explain by natural physical laws, didn't we? Yes, we did. Any mass 10 times its size and density should have been pulverized by that atomic barrage, but it wasn't.
The Reading Rodeo has been inducted into the PRCA Hall of Fame as one of the top rodeos in the nation. Come see what makes the Reading Rodeo a recipient of this great honor as the Reading Rodeo takes place May 17th through the 20th. 4 days of action-packed rodeo with free performances of the Wrangler Million Dollar Silver Tour Rodeo. Wednesday and Thursday night are family night, and Friday is tough enough to wear pink night. Sponsored by Pendleton Whiskey. Saturday night, it's the Wrangler Champions Challenge as the top 10 in each event compete for an $80,000 purse. Every night will feature a Chuckwagon Races specialty act. Tickets are on sale now. For tickets, go online to ReadingRodeo.com or visit the Rodeo Box Office at the Redding Rodeo Grounds, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 6. Order by phone at 241-8559. Redding Rodeo annual stake feed is Saturday, May 13th. Follow the Redding Rodeo on Facebook. The Redding Rodeo Grounds roar to life for the annual Redding Rodeo.
This is Terry Oxley, pastor of True Life Church in Bella Vista. Taking America back is more than merely voting for the right candidate and expecting him alone to turn a morally bankrupt country around. What made and will continue to make America great is a country who allows God his rightful place. Without godly Christian values, there's no absolute standard for our courts to judge by, and no standard to hold our politicians accountable. People must experience a change of heart that only comes from a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you're looking for a no-nonsense church that's not afraid to talk about current issues and yet teaches the Bible, I invite you to be our guest. Our Sunday services are at 10 a.m. We are located on Deschutes Road, one block south of Highway 299 in Bella Vista. You can visit our website at truelifereading.com. We hope to see you soon, and remember, it's worth the ride.
It's termite swarm season again when termites quickly expand their already large colonies. Because of the quiet and hidden nature of termites, they are often undetected until the damage has already occurred. If you suspect your house has termites, call the professionals at Big Time Pest Control immediately for a free estimate. Big Time Pest Control will guarantee extermination of termites, insects, spiders, and rodents. Call 530-242-8830. Big Time service at a price you can afford. Big Time Pest Control. The 23rd Annual Banquet for the Redding Chapter of Safari Club International will be conducted May 13th at the Wind River Event Center. Safari Club International is the premier organization that protects hunters' rights and promotes wildlife conservation worldwide. Join us for a night of great food and fantastic auctions. Auctions will include African hunting safaris, Argentinian dove hunts, elk, bear, and buffalo hunts. Special drawings for youth and ladies for gear and guns. For tickets, call Larry McLeod at 530-474-5075.
Hello, Frank and Kathy Muse with Northern Lights Energy. Well, it's time for ethanol-free 93 for all your chainsaws, lawnmowers, and blowers and dirt bikes. So come on in and see David at the plant. Barbecue season's starting up, so fill those propane bottles. We have lots of them ready to go. We have race car fuel for all the go-fast folks. And if you're thinking about updating your water heater, give us a call. We have lots of kerosene-fired on-demand water heaters that work great. We have red and clear diesel at all the plants and gasoline. If you need card lock, give us a call. We are the CFN, Fleetwide, and Fuel Man that are accepted all over the U.S. In Corning, Robin's getting busier every day with all of our ag customers and has a lot of truckers coming through. Joe in Weaverville's getting a lot busier with the traffic starting to come through at certain times. Northern Lights Energy, home, ranch, construction, and logging. 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland. We are talking about Nibiru, and one thing we were starting to touch on there at the end that I think is definitely an interesting sociological topic. My wife is a sociologist, but I don't think any of us here qualify, but let's fake it for a little while.
Yeah, we can do that.
Wasn't there a prophetic Christian book, I think, called The Late Great Planet Earth, where they had proposed that the world was going to end on a specific date, and you can actually find this book in print, and that the day came and went, and then they republished the book with a new date as to when the world was going to end. So I think it kind of ties into my thoughts about Nibiru, and that is, if you look online and you look up Nibiru, a lot of the stuff that's coming up is not the science behind it. It's the upcoming cataclysm, right, and the death potential, and the a lot of people getting right with the Lord, because there's also comparisons that they're saying that this is, what is it, the Red Dragon from Revelation, which is basically supposed to be another planet coming in having to do with the biblical revelation. Even Zachariah Sitchin said that it might be populated with the Nephilim. But, you know, so I don't know. Do you think people are much more apt to get involved when they think they're going to die?
I think apocalypse theories, like if the Bible is Tuesdays with Maury, then apocalypse theories are like Transformers.
Absolutely.
That was kind of a weird metaphor.
Yeah.
But
luckily I have a diverse movie base, so I get where that's coming from. What do you think, Desmond? Do you think people are scared?
I think that the idea of religion is entirely based in fear. So obviously, to be religious, you must have fear.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I mean, I'm sure that a lot of people are going to take offense to that, but I would take okay. it. Well, I don't care that they. I mean, there's a lot of things people can take offense to, but you know, I do believe that the core of religion is fear, but not because of religion itself, but because of mankind itself. If you look at animals in general, we are motivated by fear more than anything else, you know.
Yeah,
I brought this up before. I have a small dog, and this dog, he's lived with us for years. We feed him, we love him, and he is absolutely terrified of us.
Well, yeah. I think that I definitely understand what you're saying, and I think that with the people that created religion knew that humans are fearful. And
right.
I think that it's a tool that they use to control and to manipulate. And ultimately, it's all monetary based. It's not about real, you know, spirituality. It's not about, you know, really, like, instilling this idea into people that there is a heaven, there is a hell. It's about controlling people to get what they want. And it's easy because people make that. You know, it's a reality for people that they're scared, and nobody wants to die.
No.
So what's the easy answer? Is that there's this eternal infinity where you live in happiness, where you're, you know, feathered with giant leaves and fed grapes, and you live for eternity. You know, so obviously the fear...
Sounds better than dying, frankly.
I don't disagree with you, but at the same time, I mean, if you want to be a critical thinker, you have to throw that idea out the window.
Right. So let me ask you this to sort of spin you around on what you're saying.
Sure.
Do you believe in Nibiru?
I believe in science and the universe.
Do you believe that it's out there?
Yes. Yeah. I do. Yes. And, you know, there was a study by some Caltech researchers that are starting to actually make this a reality as well.
Yeah, there's definitely some, you know, the proof that's out there, a lot of the stuff that's circulated as proof that there is another celestial body. And let's clarify this quickly. When scientists talk about Planet X, they are not necessarily talking about Nibiru.
Yeah.
Scientists think that due to comet orbits, that there might be another large body out there on a circular semi-elliptical orbit, but not coming into the inner solar system, that is manipulating the paths of comets. Now, this is not necessarily Nibiru when the scientists are talking about it.
There's six things around what they're deciding is Planet X, and those six things, they have an elliptical orbit, but what they're saying is that the whatever is in the center of that just has an elongated orbit that comes in every 10 to 20,000 years. So, like, there is definitely a disconnect between what Zachariah Sitchin has talked about and what the Caltech researchers are talking about.
Right. And when the scientists say comes in, they mean when it comes close.
Exactly.
They don't mean passing within
close
between Neptune
terms.
And Uranus or anything like that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Right. So, you know, Planet X might be out there, but that's a whole different topic. The topic here is Nibiru. And I don't know where we were at. We were basically talking about, you know, people's generalized fear of these things and and how it motivates the topic. And then, you know, they post all this proof online. And I got to say, a lot of it is, once again, it's like the fear proof is the immediate proof, and that's the thing that people are putting up, but I find that it's not very convincing. I find that the long-term, more scientific proof is maybe a little bit more convincing.
Well, yes. But it's definitely, like, in this topic, you're definitely connecting the dots, because we don't have any real proof that Nibiru is a planet. You know, there, as you say, there is more scientific proof saying that Planet X is a real thing, based off of what we know as scientists, as people.
Right, more mathematical
proof. Exactly, definitely, right, yeah, for sure. Yeah. But there's also a lot of other things, you know, that are just unexplainable, that you have to, like I said, you kind of have to connect the dots. Like, there are things that make no sense. You know, there's structures, monoliths, a lot of different things.
Absolutely. Taking it outside of Nibiru, yes. If we just want to step back to more von Daniken
and
ancient astronaut theory, absolutely. There are absolutely a lot of things that are very, very questionable. And they don't necessarily make me personally believe. My general belief system is that I want to believe, but I don't actually believe in anything. I'm a nihilist. Not really, but you know. Yeah. Well. Must be exhausting. So, you know, there are absolutely things that, you know, it's like the pyramids in Mexico where it looks like an astronaut in a rocket ship. What's up with that?
Yeah.
You know, and like, and so, okay, well, that's one. And people could say, well, you could roll the dice and you could end up with that. But then when you start putting that around the world and you start looking at the Nazca Inca lines and you start looking at all this
and
stuff.
And Pumapunku and things like that.
Right.
Like,
and you start going, well, I don't know. This is a little weird.
And it's things that, like, they're and the monoliths in Pumapunku, there's still 90-degree angles that can cut your finger that
right.
are thousands of years old. Like, and we would have a hard time right now, you know, duplicating that.
Right. It would absolutely. Not be easy. With all of our machinery
absolutely, yep.
technological awesomeness. So the point of my saying that is that Nibiru, to me, seems far-fetched. But when you put it in the context of these other things being possibilities, it starts to not look that far-fetched.
Even so, I don't know, when I hear connect the dots, I kind of hear jumping to conclusions, you know?
There's definitely a lot of possibilities.
No, that's a fair point, and that is definitely a point that a lot of people bring up, and I can't dispute it myself, because scientifically, you know, it's not black and white, but what is the explanation for these things on our planet that have no explanation? To me, it just makes sense, especially when you also think about the gap between Homo erectus and Homo sapien and the ideas that Zachariah Sitchin has put out there. It makes it makes sense in a generalized way. Obviously, not in a very specific scientific way because we don't have the proof yet. But what else is the explanation?
I think it's a reasonable starting point. I guess I'm going to put you on the spot here, Sean.
Okay.
What do you think? Is there a Nibiru?
I am not currently convinced. I heard about this topic for the first time a couple hours ago. So
I'm glad you came so prepared. Thanks. So you basically came as the devil's advocate.
Kinda, yeah.
Which everyone needs for a good discussion.
So not a strong Nibiru believer.
No, to me, this argument about, you know, things we don't understand yet sounds kind of like the God of the Gaps theory you hear from, for instance, creationism apologists.
All right. Well, when we come back,
I'll have to defend those strong points.
We're going to discuss the Anunnaki, and maybe we'll be able to convince you that they have altered you and made you a better monkey.
Oh, boy.
It is true.
Analog living in a digital world. Every week on Boomer Tech Radio, we offer up the latest tech news you can use. Hi, it's Bob Belongi. It's even easier to listen to the show now that we're on iTunes. You'll find our archives and articles at boomertechradio.com, and the show is streamed live at kcnr1460.com. We review the latest goodies, gadgets, and gizmos, and make sure you are up to date on the latest tech trends. Boomer Tech Radio, Saturday from noon to 2 p.m. on KCNR 1460, and now available as a podcast on iTunes.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
You've heard B&T Satellite say don't call the 800 number. Here's why. Summer's on its way, guys, and at B&T Satellite, they make TV easy for your boat, your RV, or even your treehouse. Are you paying for channels you don't watch? Do you want to drop them and save money? They hear ya. Introducing FlexPack from Dish. Get 50 popular channels for $39.99 a month. They make TV easy from local technology to personal service and features at better prices. If you're tired of paying too much money for too little TV, they'll make TV easy for you. Call B&T Satellite at 244-1988 and get the best in local service, technology, and flexibility. Here's what Jack M. had to say on Facebook.
I've dealt with the Dish Corporation. I've not had any satisfaction with their service. But the local guys, that's the way to go when you need great service. We chose B&T Satellite as our Dish cable carrier. First, I was amazed that Doug, the owner, would come to our home late Friday afternoon to work. Doug was a delight to work with. He went above and beyond the call of duty. Truly, if you want the best service, don't call the 800 number. Call Doug Tooley at B&T Satellite. Let him make TV easy for you. Call 241-3474 or on the web at btsatellite.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kara Tennant with CARE Animal Hospital, and I'm inviting you to join me on the Carl and Linda Morning Show. We will be discussing all of Reading's local pet needs and how to keep your pet happy, healthy, and safe. CARE Animal Hospital is a local veterinary clinic located on the corner of Hilltop Drive and Lake Boulevard. Make sure your best friend has the best possible care today.
Join Dr. Kara Tennant on Friday, May 19th at 7:30 a.m. on Free Fire Radio here on AM 1460 KCNR.
Hey, high school sophomores, juniors, and seniors. It's been a long year and graduation is just around the corner. After all that hard work, a nice summer break is well deserved. But wait, did you know that by taking a few classes at Shasta College this summer, you can get a jump start on your college education? Shasta College has more for you. More classes so you can graduate faster. More programs so you can choose your perfect career path. More flexibility to work around your busy life schedule. And more ways to graduate and transfer than ever before. Summer enrollment is happening now, and we've made it easier than ever for you to register. Call 242-7650 to get started and get a jump on your future career with summer classes at Shasta College. The world is full of endless possibilities, and Shasta College is here to help you begin your dream and secure your future. It's your life, your path, and your college. We just help you bring it all together. Get your jump start at Shasta College. Register today at 242-7650.
Welcome back. This is Radio Wasteland. And our topic this evening is Nibiru.
Oh, it's kind of turning into, like, movie reference theater over here.
Movie reference. You know,
that's my, every show, though. Be real.
That's a big part of my life. You know, through my early 20s and late teens, my friends and I could have whole conversations about all sorts of topics solely from quotes from Spinal Tap. So, you know, this is a... And I think we've dropped, like, three Big Lebowski ones during this conversation. So,
I think that's right.
All right, so we're talking about Nibiru. For those of you that don't know, Nibiru is a supposed planet in a 3,600-yearly elliptical orbit around Earth, and it's possibly got life on it. They are, so Zachariah Sitchin, he translated the cuneiform tablets from Sumer and basically figured out that he believes there is this planet and that they are populated by the Sumerian gods, the Anunnaki. In my asking people about this, you know, we're talking about the cataclysm that's supposedly coming up. A lot of them weren't sure about the Anunnaki, but they were sure that we were going to die in a fiery planet collision, which I thought was kind of weird because there is so much information out there about the Anunnaki, and so much of this is based on the Anunnaki.
Yeah.
And then Zachariah Sitchin also tied that together with Revelation, and he believed that the Anunnaki were the same as the Nephilim from the Bible, and that...
Well, the Nephilim actually, in Zechariah's books, they're the fallen angels. They're the ones that actually came down. Because there was like, you know, when the planet came, you know, if we're talking about this as fact, the Anunnaki were the people that were actually on the planet, and the Nephilim were the people that came down from the planet, and they were the fallen angels.
I see. And this is how this ties in with the Book of Enoch.
Yes.
And all that. I get it. And so does that mean that some of us are actually part Nephilim and
part Anunnaki? Well, the idea essentially is that about 450,000 years ago is the first time that they actually came down to our planet, and they were mining for gold. And the idea was that they had a dying atmosphere. Mm-hmm. And so they were mining gold to put into their atmosphere, which is the same thing that astronauts do in their glass. They fleck it because it cuts down the UV rays. Mm-hmm. So that was his basic idea, was that they were down here and they needed smarter workers. Mm-hmm. So that's when they decided to basically interbreed, you know, and then, you know, you can take the biblical references and kind of put them in with what he's talking about, and, you know, and taking the rib.
Right.
And that was the, you know, the DNA that they used to interbreed with us, basically.
So the belief is that while there are a lot of missing links,
yes,
you know, there, over the years there have been a lot of arguments about, well, show me the missing link. And there's actually about 30 missing links that we found. But there is still a big jump in the middle there.
Yeah. Homo erectus, Homo sapien is the biggest gap, hands
right
down.
Right. And so the belief is that these guys needed better slave workers, and they came in and made us smarter monkeys so that we could be their slave worker.
Okay.
That's the idea.
I have a question. Many questions.
All right.
So this thing is on this massive orbit, right? It comes into the solar system or near the solar system occasionally, but otherwise it's out in deep space, right?
Correct.
3,600 years, yes.
Okay. How on Earth is this place habitable for a civilization of creatures?
Well, okay, that's jumping ahead a bit, but here's a couple of possibilities. One possibility is that the planet itself is either radioactive or generating a lot of, you know, tidal forces in the rock and therefore generating a lot of heat. Another argument could be that by adding gold to their atmosphere, they're able to contain their heat.
Well,
and
another thing also is just the fact that, like, they could be extremely technologically advanced.
Yeah, but they would have had to evolved at some point.
Yes.
I mean, I suppose they could have come from elsewhere and then...
Well,
but, you know,
they could have just been around for 100,000 years, 200,000 years, 300,000 years.
Oh, way more than that. Yeah, yeah. 450,000 yeah years ago was
exactly
when they made you a better monkey.
Imagine if you were able to sustain life, like, imagine on Earth, and the way mm-hmm that, like, and that's, you know, technology eventually is going to reach this, like, apex point, because
sure
it continues to jump and to jump and to jump every 6 months, every year. And so eventually it's going to get to this point where it becomes almost all-knowing.
Absolutely. You know, so, I mean, arguably there's enough energy from the reflection of the moon for us to power the planet. We just don't know how to get to it. You know, and but there is another one that you might like more. And one is that Nibiru is actually, or I don't know, Nemesis is basically a brown dwarf star that is the binary star to our sun that's actually in this massive orbit that Nibiru actually orbits.
Okay. I guess I would say that sounds possible, but again, we're making a lot of fairly big leaps.
Brown dwarf is a real thing. When I first heard of this, I'm just all, brown dwarf? What are they, just making stuff up? But a brown dwarf is basically a planet that is so incredibly large, a gas giant that's so incredibly large, it's between being a gas giant and it's not quite a star yet.
Right.
And so it does generate a massive, you know, amount of heat, like the planets around Jupiter. Mm-hmm. You know, so, you know, but then I'd have to say that if a brown dwarf came, you know, strolling through our inner solar system, I think it would cause major.
Well, if we go back to the science part of it, and the Caltech researchers, they
don't think it comes into the solar system.
No, well, they think that it comes in at a much longer orbit, 10 to 20,000 years, and they definitely have said that it is the biggest planet, much larger than any planet that we have in our current orbiting solar system.
Like larger than the gas giants?
Much larger.
Well, that would possibly put it into brown dwarf territory.
Okay. And then if you look at the previous cataclysms that, you know, science has said that we've had, if you start to go back that far, then it becomes a little bit more plausible.
So you have two possibilities on either hand. One, you have that, you know, you have these civilizations of hyper-evolved extremophiles, basically.
Right.
You know, they're living on this planet that's an environment unlike we have ever known life to thrive in, which, okay, you know, it's a big universe, things can happen.
Right.
And they needed gold for their atmosphere for terraforming, and they were, you know, intermingling with people all this time ago.
Mm-hmm.
Or we haven't found some fossils yet.
Wait, what?
I'm saying this entire thing is brought up to explain, you know, a gap in the evolutionary record, which
right.
is not terribly uncommon. Fossils are rare.
Right, right. Yeah.
So it's like,
well, it's like Michael.
Which is more likely?
It's like Michael Che on SNL when the birds are stolen and he's all, or hear me out, maybe they flew away, you know.
Right, that's kind of what I'm saying.
You know, I get it, but, you know, a lot of people are believing this stuff. And a lot of people are coming up with what they believe to be photographic evidence.
Photographic, okay.
Yeah, that's well, you know, you know, one of the beliefs for a planet is the opposite Earth. What is the word that I'm looking for? The belief that there's the Earth, and then on the other side of the sun, there is another planet that we just don't see.
Like a counterweight.
Yeah, like the anti-Earth.
Hmm. Okay.
So, you know, and so people have been finding proof of all of these things over the years. So a lot of the Nibiru proof comes from people seeing shadows supposedly coming out from behind the sun.
Dark side of the sun.
Right, the dark side of the sun.
Well, that's totally different than what we were just talking about. You know,
it's all theory.
Well, not necessarily. Not if it came in, passed, and then now it's hiding on the dark side of the sun.
I'm saying, you know, we were talking about planet way out in deep space, right, and every now and then it comes close, versus planet just on the other side of the sun.
Right. I was just throwing that out as an example of people having been looking for this for a very long time and looking for these things for a very long time.
Well, and nothing is real until we accept it as real, too. And obviously, you know, we have a scientific method that allows us to accept things as real, but we also have to accept the fact that our scientific method might also be flawed because we can only understand so many things. You know, we can only process so many things. Our brain is not an all-knowing entity. You know, it knows what we know, and also, you know, we're told to think a certain way as well. So it's just, you just never know. It's the possibility, the idea that there is some more things out there.
Well, we'll find out. Thanks for listening to Radio Wasteland. We'll be back after this break.
Sometimes when this place gets kind of empty, sound of their breath fades with the light. I think about the loveless fascination under the Milky Way tonight. Lower the curtain down.
I'm Dr. Nancy Sutton Pierce, the host of the Conscious Living Show, every Saturday, 11 to noon, here on KCNR 1460. You'll laugh, cry, and perhaps be shocked by my frank and honest conversations. I often team up with my husband, Dr. Mark Pierce, and no one makes me squirm or giggle quite like he can. We are the yin-yang, east-west, of most topics, yet you can always feel the love and respect between us. Visit DrNancySuttonPierce.com to keep this conversation going.
Shasta High School's award-winning music department is pleased to present its 47th annual spring musical, George and Ira Gershwin's Crazy for You, April 27th through 29th and May 4th through 6th at the David Marr Theater in Reading. This romantic comedy will include professional costumes and staging and feature a live orchestra. Recommended for ages 4 years and up, tickets can be purchased online now at ShastaWolves.com or ShastaHighChoir.com. Tickets are $15 in advance, $20 at the door. Get your tickets now for the best seats available.
Orchard Nutrition Center knows that your time is valuable. Now you can place your deli order online, and we'll have it ready when you're ready. Visit Orchard Nutrition Center's Facebook page and click on the Use App button. From there, you can select to order delicious deli items such as deli cheeses, meats, a variety of fresh-made salads, or you can select to build your own custom deli sandwich. Choose from a variety of freshly baked breads. Add your favorite cheese, meat, condiments. Don't forget to add your favorite veggies, and if you'd like to add some extras, that's okay. Create your sandwich your way. And now you can pay online with our secure online checkout, and your order will be ready in 30 minutes. Whether a single item or a large order for your office or family, skip the checkout lines and log on to Orchard Nutrition Center on Facebook at OrchardNutrition.com or download the Orchard Nutrition Center app from Google Play or the App Store. Orchard Nutrition Center, Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
What shall we do about them?
Join Aaron Ryan, Bill Cundiff, and Bob Martin for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon till 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than the mainstream media sound bites.
Here on KCNR 1460 AM, we've got the experts on politics, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, property rights, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
The archives are always available online at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. And we welcome your suggestions for future topics and guests at wethepeopleradio.us. We the People, brought to you by Powerhouse Solar of Reading, Sundays at noon on KCNR.
What shall we do about them?
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland. I don't know. I don't know if we're pitching a good argument here for the belief in Nibiru. I think Sean is really dragging this party down.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
With your general negativity, you know. So
we'll have to do some re-education on this.
Right.
Well, you need the naysayers.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, thanks for coming in here and shooting it down with your, what, 3 hours worth of knowing?
I chose
You're the problem with the world. That's why we're all going to die in a fiery cataclysm in October.
Yeah, but it's mostly just going to be from Donald Trump.
Yeah, you can call in on that one. 530-605-4567.
Last half of the show will just be totally political, guys.
It's a topic I tend to try to avoid. But
fair enough.
You know, a lot of these people think that the government knows, and that the government knows that, you know, all of this is happening, and that they're going to let us go, and they're going to escape themselves.
I mean, the government is, you know, obviously a generalized term. I think there's certain people that know.
Right, right.
I don't think Ted Cruz knows anything.
Is that your personal opinion?
That would be
my
personal
opinion. That one's been scientifically proven, actually. I'm pretty sure.
Aw. Poor, what is he, Lion Ted? Poor Lion Ted.
Poor Lion
Ted. Something like that.
Yeah. So we're talking about the Anunnaki. We're talking about Nibiru. Is there another planet in our solar system that's basically occupied by ancient gods of ours? You know, the idea is that they turned us into, I keep using the term a better monkey, but they turned us into a better workforce.
Into a sentient being, essentially.
Right, into, a higher thinking, better working thing. And so, in the end, was there some sort of rebellion?
I would imagine. But I would imagine that the rebellion would have been not necessarily the people versus the Nephilim, which would have been the workforce sent down to do the engineering, the genetic engineering. I would say it would be a battle between the people, the Anunnaki, the Nephilim that came down, versus the Anunnaki.
Right.
Because that would make, I mean, what could the people do essentially against this great technology? It would have to be...
They went local.
Yeah.
Basically.
Exactly.
And came down and they said, we like this and we don't like that and we don't want to go out into deep space, so we're going to kick it here with the smart
They're
monkeys.
Like, look at this thriving... I mean, back then...
Right.
Look at this thriving, beautiful planet.
Right.
Filled with oxygen, you know, just ready to be lived in.
Right. And, you know,
if
one...
If you're the type of creature that uses oxygen.
Well, I mean, they...
As opposed to a creature that evolved in deep space. But
well,
I digress.
You know, I don't think we said this very well. So the Anunnaki lived on the planet. The Nephilim were genetically engineered to be able to exist on our planet. They came down here, hung out with us, and altered us into better monkeys in order to work for them.
See, I must have
this is
that.
This is what the belief is. So, yes, the Nephilim could be here. But, I don't know. But there's a lot of... other beliefs that follow this. I mean, Scientology. This is not a far cry from the roots of Scientology.
I mean, ancient aliens, pretty common in a lot of, beliefs.
The only difference is that it doesn't cost $10,000 to believe in this.
That is a good point.
You're going to become our new religion reporter. Why don't you tell us what you think of this religion?
You know,
same thing of that one that I thought of all the other ones.
Well, the funny thing about me being the naysayer on this is actually, like, the Anunnaki, I kind of love the Mesopotamian gods. Like,
absolutely.
As far as ancient polytheism goes, probably like them more than the Greek and Roman gods because they're the first ones.
Well, everything is based off of them, essentially.
Exactly,
yeah.
Well,
recorded culture.
Nibiru is supposedly a renaming. So basically, in ancient Sumer, there was Marduk, who was the leader of these Nephilim that came down.
Who slayed Titan.
Or was the leader of the Anunnaki. He was the main god.
Well, there was,
and the planet was called Marduk. And later, somebody else took over their culture, and in order to rewrite the history and put himself in the pantheon, he renamed the planet to Nibiru. This is at least what some of this stuff says.
Right.
And so this stuff is heavily, heavily tied in with that stuff. And I do think it is totally interesting that, we don't give these Sumerians enough credit.
No.
I think a prime example is the flood.
Yeah, well, modern religion is, like, Christianity, all of Judaism, all of that kind of thing is heavily influenced by Sumerian myth.
And the Epic of Gilgamesh.
Exactly.
Well, definitely. And it's more directly influenced by, the Egyptian.
Right.
And but the Egyptian is directly, goes directly back to Sumer.
Right, and the tie-ins are really, I just feel that you can't ignore these things. I really can't cover it, maybe we should have spent more time on this show trying to convince you, the listener. We're just trying to get you interested in the topic of Nibiru. But really, the amount of evidence out there, You know, people watch Ancient Aliens and they make fun of it because of Giorgio's hair or some business like that, you know, and
that dude's
and his answer for everything, it was aliens, you know. But, you know, you gotta have the hardcores liking it, but you gotta admit that a lot of this information that they're showing on the show, you are, tonight's devil's advocate for this topic. When you watch Ancient Aliens, do you go, I don't know, man, that's pretty,
I have never watched Ancient Aliens. I totally just blew your whole build-up right there.
What do you do on Sundays?
Out of the water, and for that I apologize. But I don't...
Have you ever seen any stuff, any proof that you found to be credible?
I find the idea that this planet has been visited before by, like, macroscopic intelligent beings to be rather unconvincing. Myself, personally.
And Ryan, maybe our goal needs to be convincing you, because this is one of the things, you know, of all these things and all these topics, the one thing that I am absolutely sure of, and here on Radio Wasteland, we cover Bigfoot, we're about to have a show on mermaids, we cover everything, right? The one thing I absolutely would bet my life on is that there is life out there.
Oh, I agree. I don't think they've visited us.
You don't
I don't think,
think
there's much in the way of credible evidence that faster than light travel, for instance,
well,
is possible.
What actually is credible evidence?
Look, I'm not a scientist.
A corpse.
And I don't know anything. So, generally, I take my cues from the people who study this stuff.
Yeah, I
and,
do too. I
and
do
generally, too. You know, where they go, I go.
Yeah.
And so, you know, generally... The reaction of astronomers to the idea of Nibiru specifically, not necessarily, you know, a planet X, is, you know, no.
Right. There are a lot of arguments against Sitchin, not only from cosmologists, but also from
And so I say, you have spent, you know, 20 years of your life doing nothing else. You don't need to show me the work.
Right.
You know, I'm good. I'm busy.
The idea of the naysaying, though, too, especially from the scientific community and from different government entities, is the implications against religion, which is a hugely, hugely monetary system and has a lot of influence in a lot of different areas. So the idea that it's not credible and that there hasn't been, and there also hasn't been a lot of research and money thrown at the idea, is because of the implications against religion.
I don't know that organized science, you know, is necessarily having, like, religion's back all the time.
Well, we're going to have to cover this next time. It looks like we got another show out of this. Thanks for listening to Radio Wasteland. I've been Chauncey. You've been Sean, you've been Desmond, and you've been the audience. Thanks for checking it out.
Thank you.
dance to hip hop. The dark assumes and relax the sound. The vibe is spread just like a box. But the music is loud like an electric shout.
You're listening to KCNR 1460, community talk radio for the North State. This is KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. President Trump says his administration has put the American people first during his first 100 days in office.
Since my inauguration, economic confidence has soared, reaching higher than any time in 9 years. Optimism among manufacturers is at a record high, and small business confidence has seen its largest increase in nearly four decades. Perhaps the greatest change of all is the renewal of the American spirit.
Another try and another fail for North Korea, the country's state media reiterating the country's goal of developing a nuclear missile, even as it has tried another missile launch, and we get more details from correspondent Ben Thomas.
A U.S. official says North